Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Hoop Ball Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a hoop-ball.com presentation. If you'd like to go and follow us on Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank, LyleSwithenbank. And at Hoop Ball Pels is the show. Guys, long-suffering Pels supporter sitting alongside me in the room. First one that I've recorded in the room. I've been hounded to invite this very special guest on today. She has had to sit alongside me while we watch every single Pels game. And it is Lark Hare. Lark, how are you going?
I'm going well, thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's been a long time coming.
Yes, well, long-suffering Pelicans fan, like most of us. We just finished, watching the Phoenix Suns collapse, I guess. Again, the Pels taking on the Phoenix Suns, first game of the road trip. There's plenty of news we're going to talk about today. Firstly, we're going to be talking about Zion and the update on him. We've also got the City jerseys, the release of that, and the flack that came with that design. We'll have a chat about that, and then we'll of course recap the Phoenix Suns game. A tale of two halves, which seems to really be the theme of this Pelicans season. So I suppose we might as well kick off. Well, I suppose before we do, actually, we'll thank the sponsors, mybookie.ag. Use the code HOOPBALL when you sign up. That'll give you a deposit match, 100% deposit. Obviously, there's terms and conditions with that, and check that out when you sign up. And manscaped.com, use the code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20 at checkout. That'll give you 20% off and free shipping. And because we love a discount, go and get yourself the Lawnmower 4.0. All right, down to
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brass tacks. So the report, we'll kick it off before we get into the Phoenix Suns game. Zion Williamson passed his first round of scans. He has been cleared to go into the next phase of recovery, which is the non-contact drills. So he's doing everything with the team except playing contact. So 5-on-0, 1-on-0, whatever. He's just not playing against anyone. Probably 2 to 3 weeks before they do another scan. Not unsurprising. Like, what did you think of the news coming out that Zion's going to miss more time?
Well, it's just no good for the team, really. You can just see out there on the court every single game, they need Zion. They need the points, and they need someone to open up the floor. They need, you know, you've got players out there that just are unwilling to shoot when they're being defended. TM3 is an absolute standout for me. He just doesn't look confident out there, and you're just thinking to yourself, as soon as Zion comes, he's drawing two defenders the other side of the court, and all of a sudden TM3 is getting an open look, or Nikhil's getting an open look. It's just going to completely blow the game wide open. And to be getting these close games without Zion, it just makes you think what's going to happen when we get him. So we need him healthy, but the rhetoric around him, around his weight and all of that jazz, I mean, I don't really support it. I don't really think it's relevant.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously that question of, do you rush him back when you can clearly see that he's probably a bit heftier than he has been in previous seasons?
Yeah, but the way people are going on about his weight, you just wouldn't see it in other aspects of life. And I get that he is a professional athlete, so he needs to maintain some certain level of, you know, healthiness or weight or body proportions or whatever it is. But even Stan Van Gundy said today during the Suns game, he was 10% body fat last year. And people thought he was a big boy then. So, you know, how much has he really blown out? Like, no one's really seen him yet. He's full of muscle. He's a big guy. And he hasn't moved for the best part of 3 months since he did his foot. So is all that weight just going to shed off the second he can actually get into some running and get into some, you know, drills and fitness and play basketball again?
Yeah, well, I guess we've got to treat this as like his preseason. Essentially, he's had a whole, you know, 6 months off now. For him, if he has put weight on, well, it's probably fair enough because he hasn't been doing anything. I mean,
absolutely. I agree with you completely. Yeah, what did you expect to have happen? Mm. Like,
And on that, people are like, oh, well, you know, it'll be a week and then we'll have Zion back. Well, he's coming off a broken foot. He's gone from zero training to, I don't know, the next stage of that, or slight running. Are you then going to put him straight into an NBA game ready to play? No, you're not.
Absolutely not, because he's going to be fragile too. He's got to build up his strength again. And then, yeah, if he is slightly heavier and people don't think he's got the match fitness, then, yeah, that's going to take a minute or two for him to get prepared again. And that can only be expected. That's not. I don't think that we should be playing this blame game on Zion and acting like he's just spent the last 3 months, you know, chowing down on hot dogs and meat pies.
Well, you know, we can't verify whether or not that has been the case, but he has. It is going to be a wait and see approach. Brandon Ingram, the injury report just keeps growing, and we'll get into that in the Suns game. Brandon Ingram out again for the Suns game with that hip contusion. He was saying before the game that basically they're just trying to get the pain to a manageable level so that he can play. Not really the ideal situation that you can have with your other star player who's meant to be carrying us. And if his workload's already too much and his hips are already given up on him, well, gosh, you know, it's going to be a tricky thing. I mean, I have seen this before where guys go and start putting muscle on and all of a sudden hips become a bit of an issue because core strength deficiencies and the like, and you're moving heavier upper body than you had in your legs previously. But regardless, B.I.'s got to get himself back, and it was obvious today in that Suns game, as we'll get into, that was needed a scorer down the line. Now, changing tact a little bit without chatting about Zion and all the copious amounts of injuries that we're going through. The other big news that came out since we last recorded a pod was the City jerseys drop, the mixtape throwback jerseys. Bit of flack about the Pelicans one, particularly the New Orleans video that surfaced online out of nowhere and should just go back to wherever it came from in the internet. Lark, can you talk us about those jerseys and what you thought about them?
The jerseys are one thing. I think the thing with the jerseys is they're uninspiring, right? They just look a plain home jersey, and instead of Pelicans or New Orleans, it says NOLA. So there's nothing there that really gets anyone excited and, you know, gets people talking. It just looks a bit boring, a bit bland. That's one thing. And I think that, as you know, as fans and the Twitter space has kind of been talking about, it's a case of, okay, right, it's a boring jersey, cool, all right. Then you look at all the other jerseys and it looks particularly boring up against the likes of the Chicago one or the Atlanta Hawks one. And then it doubles down once you get to the video. And, you know, you and I were watching all of those videos that the other teams were releasing, and they were so cool. Like, for me, the Hawks one, I just thought was brilliant. The way they had, and if you haven't watched it, you should definitely go and watch once you finish listening to the pod. But the way they had all these defining moments in their team's history, and then they took a little bit from each jersey and then made this year's jersey. And it was just so cool. And then you look at our video and it's, I mean, maybe they're a famous band in New Orleans that we just don't know about. But it's just, you know, five people walking down a street singing a random song about how we like to party all night and, you know, we have a great time in New Orleans. Like, it's just, it looked like, to me, a school assignment, some sort of seniors' photography video class assignment to make this video. And it was just uninspiring. It had nothing to do with basketball, hardly anything to do with New Orleans. They could have been walking down any sidewalk. I mean, we got a tiny bit of a couple of snapshots of some New Orleans sites, but other than that, just disappointing. And I guess the rebuttal to that is, but we haven't got the history that some of the other teams have got. And my response is, then focus on the future. Focus on the players you do have. I mean, was it the Clippers we were watching and they all had the reactions to the jersey? So they had a few players come out and go, oh, wow, and like looking at the jerseys for the first time. I mean, maybe that just would have been a rubbish video because the jerseys were boring. So maybe you weren't going to get a great snippet from TM3 looking at a City jersey. I'm not too sure. But focus on the future. Focus on what we do have. Focus on Zion. Focus on BI. Focus on some of those powerful moments that we've seen. And give us a little bit of basketball in there. And New Orleans is such a city with so much rich history itself, with so much culture itself. How have you been able to produce a bland jersey with an embarrassing video? I just think it's a shambles, to be honest, and back to the drawing board, rewind 6 months and redo it. Or is that way too harsh? You're looking at me like that's way too harsh.
Well, I mean, it is one of those things. It is a perfectly clean jersey. The issue is the delivery. The issue is the theme. It was like it was an afterthought. It was like the Pelicans are like, well, what's the point of having a nice jersey down here? We're just going to throw it around. And you know, there was it just looked half-assed. And I think that was unfair for the Pelicans.
Absolutely. And I think the line that you need to think about in the song was, we love a subtle remix. What is that? What does that even mean? We're the New Orleans Pelicans and we're always down for a subtle remix. What's a subtle remix? What even is that? That's not like a term. You can't just coin a whole new term called subtle remix. And also, New Orleans isn't subtle. And what's a remix? Just putting out the exact same shirt that we've already got, but writing NOLA. Like, it's just, it's lame, it's half-assed, and it's underwhelming. Which that's not my reflection of the team, though, for the whole season. That's just my reflection of the jersey.
Yeah, easy. It was a disappointing result getting those jerseys. I think if they had have launched them as the new home jerseys, the new white jersey, I think they're spot on. But I just think there was so much opportunity to make such a fantastic jersey. And unfortunately, that coupled with an underwhelming minute-long video when other people had personalities from different, from their relevant cities. They had paying homage to the people that come before, or even, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves, whose future, oh, their past is not as long as some of the other teams. They threw it back and showed us these new young guys reenacting some of the ones from even a few years ago. There's no reason why we couldn't reenact a few of the more successful seasons, you know. It makes, well, I mean, put that in quotation marks, I guess, more successful, define that in Pelicans terms. But disappointing to say the least, I think. And I feel like it was a real opportunity to bring people together. And again, you let the fans down. And it goes back to the organization. It's not the players and it's not the coaches. There's a higher level of organization here that it just isn't hitting the nail on the head. I mean, you're missing the mark time and time again. And when does it stop? When does it get to the point where the fans just stop coming? Well, you can see it in the crowds. People don't want to go, you know? And whether that's because we're just going to lose or because the arena in-game experience is down, or the, you know, I've heard reports that, you know, they cancelled the pre-game beer garden, which was something that Jake Madison talked about on his pod, which you can go and listen to. And, you know, what is the benefit of having a season membership? There's none at the moment, because you're not seeing your team win. You're also not getting anything from it. I can wait until 10 minutes before and get tickets for a dollar if I do want to go at the last minute. And where does it end? And successful unsuccessful teams need to mirror successful teams, because somehow they've got it right. And if you can't get it on the court, you need to make every other experience around good. It needs to be enjoyable. It needs to be an event. You don't want to go and just watch your team get pumped and then walk out and you've spent $14 on a hot dog and chips and a couple of cold or warm beers. You know, that's not what you want. The fan experience needs to be better, and all of a sudden you will get more people to the games. Those people in the games will bring in energy. The players will feel the energy and we'll win some of these close games. Now, I think that is a perfect time to segue into the game today. So the Pelicans took on the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix, fell short 112-100 after leading by up by 20 in the second quarter. And tale of two halves. I suppose, Lark, what did you think of the game today? Overall, opening thoughts.
Overall opening thoughts were good. I mean, we're watching and we're excited. I did say to you at the, you know, 4 minutes into the game, quick, get a photo because the Pelicans are up and this might never happen again for the, until Zion gets back in Christmas time or whatever it's going to be. No, good. It was good to see the young guys out there. It was lovely that we had the starters go out. They did a good job, got us going. And then the whole bench came out. And the momentum didn't shift. It wasn't like, oh gosh, the bench is on, quick, get the starters back on. It just kept going. And it was awesome. It was awesome to watch real energy from a few players. A couple of players had a couple of nice moments. Well, JV, he's just gold standard, really. But it was nice to see Kyra, who I think struggled this season, have a couple of nice moments. It was nice to see Josh Hart have a couple of nice moments. Herb, yeah. Is he the discovery of the year, do you reckon, for the whole of the NBA draft?
It has to be. It has to be. I mean, Herb, he's the only second rounder starting. I mean, he's the only second rounder getting any minutes. You know, he's just playing out of his skin. And I suppose that was the disappointing part. You could actually see the momentum shift when Herb Jones ran into a rogue Jonas Valanciunas elbow and he got knocked out. So, concussion-like symptoms for Herb. He went to the locker room, didn't return, and all of a sudden we're another man down. And a guy that we just do not want to lose, because, I mean, if you have a look at the net positive to net minus, you know, when he's on the court, plus 28. When he's off, we're a minus 15. No player has that much impact. Very few players have that impact, especially not in this Pels team this year. And to lose a guy like that who is just starting to show you a bit of the offense. You already knew what his defense was like, but his offense was starting to develop. And all of a sudden, he gets the wind taken out of his sails by getting injured. So, disappointing. But, yeah, I think Herb played out of his skin. He was fantastic. And Jonas Valanciunas was absolutely fantastic as well. What we need to jump over and have a look at is actually the box score. So Jonas Valanciunas on the night, 35 minutes, 23 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He did everything, 9 of 16. And JV battled today. Every time he went in, Frank Kaminsky could basically slap him around the head and he wasn't getting a foul. Whereas him and JaVale McGee, who were very good for them, were bailed out by the umpires so often. Touch fouls, whatever, but JV, you know, you could get him in a headlock, bloody do whatever you want to him, and there was just not a whistle. He only had 2 free throws on the night, which was just crap, honestly. There's no two ways about it. There was some bullshit umpiring in that. Moving along, Devontae Graham, 34 minutes, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, 4 of 15 shooting, 2 of 10 from 3. Just wasn't great. Josh Hart, 16 and 9. He was good. Nikhil Alexander-Walker was crap. I am so high on Nikhil, and I backed him in the whole time. But today, that ball was glued to his hands. And I don't know what he thought he was. I don't know if he thought he was Kobe or whoever he thought he was. But move the ball. The offense stagnated every time he touched it. And he was almost unplayable in 29 minutes. He was a minus 16, which was by far the worst on the team, and he was bad. 4 of 14 shooting. While we're on Nikhil, what has happened to him? And please explain what you think, like, as to what has happened to Nikhil.
Nikhil's an interesting one for me because he has all of the makeup to be brilliant, and I think that he is completely underrated with his passing. Some of the passes he makes, you just think, where did you get that from? How did you see so-and-so was free? I think he's got a skill there that's a little bit untapped and can be utilized more. But the issue with Nikhil, and it's the same issue that I think is affecting TM3. And that is purely down to confidence. If Nikhil misses his couple of shots, then he hates it. He's over. He lowers his head. He doesn't like it. He's got no confidence to go for the next one. TM3, I find that if he's not open, then he doesn't want to take the shot. So it's slightly different in the way that it affects them, but the result was the same. Just missed shots, funny timing, and taking shots that really just don't need to be taken. I wonder if a little bit of it is the fact that he was so bigged up in the off season. He had a great kind of Olympic campaign, and there was this kind of big hype around him, and he was going to get his first shot in the starting five, and it was all going to be great and good. And then he's kind of felt that pressure, felt the weight of not having Zion there as a backup or in a distraction for the other team, and now he just can't deliver. I wonder if it's a little bit of that. I think as well, you got to remember, he only started in the NBA, 2 years ago? He's a 2019 rookie with Jackson and Zion, so you know, he's young. Like, there is still, there are the bones of a good player there. The jigsaw pieces aren't all coming together for some unbeknownst reason. And again, it's so hard to judge this team until you have Zion. Zion is such a key element to the team that it's so hard to judge the other players when they're built around Zion. You know, it's like he's the king of the kingdom and he's not there. And now, you know, all the princes don't know what to do. They don't know how to run. It's like the queen bee in the beehive's gone and now all the bees are running around in circles and they're not quite sure what to do because the leader's not there. So, yeah, I feel sorry for him. I empathise with him, but we need more, right?
Needs to be better. He absolutely needs to be better. And, you know, confidence, I think you hit the nail on the head. Him and TM3, both of them, the confidence has just evaporated. And as much as Willie Green coaches these guys up, 90% of it needs to come from yourself. You need to sit there and you go, I'm not playing well enough. How do I get this better? And we saw Nikhil after the last game. He was putting shots up after the game. He knew he'd had a bad one. But he's forcing it. instead of playing within the offense and getting these curl screen threes that he gets all the time, that he trains and he practiced and we saw in the offseason he can do, he's dribbling 55 times, gone between his legs and just getting absolutely massacred. And you can't have it. You just cannot have it. So, I don't know. I don't. It is a really tricky one. And I don't know what he needs to do, but he needs to sort himself out. The bench brigade was good. Trey Murphy had 8-5. Garrett Temple had probably his best game, I think. And I think we saw flashes and he hurt his ankle. He returned from the ankle injury. And he really led from the front. He was really good. And yeah, I'm impressed that he has found that role. 22 minutes tonight. And while we're missing guys like B.I. and, you know, now Herb, Garrett's going to have to step up. He's going to take some more minutes on. And so far, he's doing that. You know, 4 steals, 2 blocks. The guy's just stat stuffed it. You love to see it. Najee was solid. He was a pest. He had 3 steals. Didn't do much else, a couple of points, but didn't take many shots. You know, he had 5 points and hit his one attempt of the night. Kyra, 13 minutes. His change of pace is coming along and he's being more patient. You can see it in his face that he's just thinking about it a little bit more. And I like that. Jackson Hayes, 6-5, 1 assist, 1 steal. Got caught out of position a lot, but had some good moments, particularly in the first half. He's a bit of a front runner, if and a lot of these guys are actually. You know, when it's going your way, everyone is just playing out of their skin. As soon as you're challenged, you fall over. And that was just... that was the story of the night. Over at the Phoenix Suns team, Chris Paul won the game for him in the end. You know, he came back 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 18 assists, 1 steal and a block. The guy was just lights out, and it was winning time. It was absolutely winning time. And, you know, for him, that's what he's been doing. He's been doing that in fourth quarters for years. Devin Booker was bad. He had 18 points, but 7 of 20 shooting. Miles Bridges, 22 points. Jay Crowder had 13. JaVale McGee had 18 points. And Frank Kaminsky, in place of DeAndre Ayton, who was out, had 17. And those two centers were just bailed out. And I have no time to talk about both those people because they were just gifted. And they played well for what they are. But, I wasn't happy with that Phoenix Suns team at all. Particularly when the first half was fantastic. You know, quarter by quarter, it's probably the best way to look at it. Quarter one, 36-22 in favor of New Orleans. Quarter two, 23-26 to start chipping back. Third quarter, 23-28, and they're on. And then 18-36 in the last quarter, and there was 4 or 5 minutes where we just did not score. And it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't. We just let Chris Paul absolutely dominate us. And what was your thoughts on that collapse once again?
This one was different to the others. So the others, we were chasing all game. Chasing, doing a rubbish job. And then in the last quarter, somehow, we pulled our fingers out and we get it within, you know, 7 or 6 points at the 3 minute mark. And I always say to you, if we're not within 5 at the 3 minute mark, forget about it. Yeah. And I'm yet to be proven wrong on that. It's just the way it is. You just don't have enough time. And for some reason, this team just can't finish. By that point, it's over. So this was the opposite. We were the ones leading. We were the ones up 20 points. We were the ones having a cracking game. And then it was about halfway through the fourth quarter. It was like, just fell over, just crumbled. It was like a big Jenga tower and, you know, it just imploded on itself. You know, there's just nothing, anyone can say or anyone can do. It's a frustrating situation and it all leads back to one person not being there. And then you've got the second one sitting next to him on the bench. I mean, the two of them were having a cracking game. I don't know if you saw, but anytime the camera panned over to them, they're having a right laugh. So I'd like to be in on whatever joke they were enjoying, but it wasn't the last 5 minutes of the Pelicans game that they were enjoying. I don't think frustrating, It's back to your honourable losses thing. It's just so annoying being a fan. And at the moment when, you know, fans seem few and far between for the New Orleans Pelicans, we need something. We need a glimmer. We need a little bit of something. You know, people are disenfranchised with the general manager. What's his name?
David Griffin.
People don't like him because of his piano playing, fibbing about the injury, carry on. People love Willie. That's great. People love Willie. I think people like the players individually as people. So that's a good thing. But the marketing team's letting them down. You know, the t-shirt designing team's letting them down. It just all feels like they haven't got everyone gelled. The boys seem gelled out on the court. Like, the men seem good. They seem together. The coaching staff seem together. But the organization itself, yeah, just lackluster. Lackluster overall, and that's showing on the court. You know, and it's not the players' fault. They're all talented. They're young. I think that's a slight issue. It's a relatively young side where that plays into the inability to finish a game and know exactly what to do to actually get to seal the deal. I'm not too sure. But maybe we should reserve all judgments until Big Z is back out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, when that is probably the big question mark. And the problem is you're falling in a hole because you're now 1-7 and we're on an away, on a road trip. Yep. You need to get a couple of wins out of this road trip. It just has to happen. We can't continue to lose because you can't end up 1-15 and then expect to make playoffs. It's just not going to happen. The West is too deep. And at the moment, we're only better than the Thunder, which is not saying much because I've got no one.
So, do you see a road out for this? Do you see a path where New Orleans can get to playoffs? Is there a way, or do we just lock this season up, call it a done deal, and try and enjoy whatever games we get out of it?
No, there's absolutely a way out, and that is get healthy, get these guys back on the court, and it's also got to be buy-in from every single player. You can't win games individually when you don't have an individual player. When you don't have a BI, when you don't have a Zion, when you don't have a Devin Booker, when you don't have a Chris Paul, when you don't have Kobe or LeBron or someone that you can literally just say, I need you to go and win this game. Can you flick that switch and do it? We don't have that player. And as much as Devontae Graham is a fantastic player, he's not that player. Jonas Valanciunas is not that player. They will dominate parts of the game, but they are not that player. The path out is steal wins like you nearly did today, but you got to finish those off. And that starts with hard defense, scoring in transition, and doing it for four quarters. Yeah. Consistency. It has to happen. You can't just play three quarters or one really good quarter. You know, we defended our absolute tails off tonight up until the last 5 minutes of the game. And then for some unknown reason, the ball stopped moving. There was a few people that were guilty of this. And they decided to put it between the legs 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 12 times. Use the whole shot clock up. And blow a layup. And it happened time and time again. And then we had to force shots. That's not the offense we've been doing. So what frustrates me is that we are losing these games. They are not getting beaten. They are losing them. And that's different to last year because last year we were getting beaten because we just weren't good enough because we didn't buy in. We didn't have that commitment to the system. There's this commitment there, but we're having brain fades. We're beating ourselves. Stop beating yourselves. That's what needs to happen. And then Zion comes back and hopefully we can win 20 games on the trot, but we'll see what happens because we're putting a lot of faith in a guy that hasn't played for 6 months. Do you see a way that we make playoffs or are we just going for draft picks?
I really hope not because I don't want to go through the exact same media day that we went through this year, which was we're here for the win. We're here for the win. It was like everyone was on auto robot. Here for the win. We want to win. We like to win. We're ready to win. And that's all that we heard all day long at media day. You could have summarized that entire media day in one sentence. We would like to win basketball. That was it. That's all anyone said. So it's frustrating to then be in a position where, like you say, we're not getting thrashed. We're not getting completely run off the court. We're not looking like we don't belong there. We look like we belong. We look like we just can't finish it. And that's so, that's more irritating than it was last year. And it's like when you're so hungry for the win, what's the extra factor that we're missing? Okay, it's Zion, right, okay. That's the obvious answer. But these boys were 20 points up without Zion. These guys have been so close on all these games except Chicago without Zion. So is Zion the missing piece? I mean, don't get me wrong. Zion's 100% going to help, absolutely. But these guys have the talent, they have the skill, they have the ability to win. What is the missing piece that means they can't get it over the line? What is it? And that is the question that I'm sure Willie is thinking about the last second before he goes to sleep and the first second when he wakes up. What is the tiny, I'm sure it's something tiny. Is it just they've not played together for long enough? Is it that they're quite young players? Is it that we have a second round draft pick as our lead defender out there? And that the second he gets, you know, elbowed in the face, it's like, oh dear, catastrophe. I mean, no one else in the NBA is thinking to themselves if their second round draft pick gets injured, oh dear, it's a catastrophe. We're the only team that are relying and putting that pressure on young guys that are new to the league. And that for me is what I think the issue is. Putting you well on the spot here. By what date or what game number does Zion need to be back for us to get out of this hole?
Well, it's got to be before Christmas because we've got 82 games. And
how many of them do we need to win?
Up until Christmas.
No, how many of the 82 do we need to win to get into playoffs?
Oh, I think you need to win 40. You need to win at least 40, I think, to really get yourself a good chance, particularly this year. I mean, what are we, 31 or something last year, 32 last year?
How many games do we have after Christmas?
The majority. So, majority, okay. You know, there's a majority of games after Christmas. And for us, you need... It's about banking wins that you should win, like our ones, and stealing ones that you shouldn't. You just can't get yourself in a hole that you can't dig yourself out of. If you can't get to 500, you've lost more games than you're going to win, you're going to struggle to make playoffs.
So what date does Zion need to be back?
He needs to be back yesterday. He needs to be back last month. But he isn't, and we just need to not put... I guess we just need to win by committee, like you said. The talent's there. It's about putting it together.
But I'm saying that's Christmas Day then. So your Christmas miracle is Zion back on the court, fit and healthy, and dunking on everyone's head. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I hope we can unwrap Zion Williamson on Boxing Day, but we'll see what happens. So next game that we have coming up after that disappointing loss is in a couple of days. I don't think we have a back-to-back, which is great. Oh, we do. We're playing the Kings again. So we're playing again tomorrow. We're on. And that is another 9 p.m. game. This time we're at Sacramento, so we'll take them on the Kings. We know we can beat them, but we just don't. So look forward to that again. Lark, thank you for coming on. Welcome to your first Hoopball Pelicans. You've heard plenty recorded, but that was the first one you get to speak on. Where can people find you? And are you looking forward to potentially coming on again sometime?
There's no really on the socials to find me other than just someone that likes all your tweets on Twitter, because I'm very supportive like that. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. It's been a long time coming. I am new to the basketball world. I've only just learnt by osmosis because I can't escape it in this house. But, you know, sometimes you can't beat them. You just got to join them. So thanks for having me on, and maybe I'll be invited back sometime.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. But thank you very much, Lark, for that. And, guys, we're going to leave it at that. It's been a good chat. And, unfortunately, the Pels lost again. We'll take them on again. We'll be back on here straight after that game as well, or probably a little bit later on because it's the time difference, as always. Anyway, so one final thing Congratulations to Jordan, who won himself a pair of Zion 1s. Thank you for your donation, mate, and those are on the way to you now. That was all in support of Feed the Second Line. Guys, everyone that donated and got around it, thank you so much. Obviously, it goes to a really good cause. And one fella got himself a pair of shoes, so congrats for that. I'm going to leave it at that, guys. We'll talk to you after the Kings game. As always, I am Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter. At Hoopball Pels is the show. This is the Hoopball Pelicans podcast, and stay safe, and bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.